Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
Mr. Buffett Goes Shopping.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Warren Buffett opened his wallet in a big way over the holiday. His company, Berkshire Hathaway, is shelling out $4.5 billion to buy most of Marmon Holdings. Marmon is a private industrial conglomerate. They're into things like wire and cable, railroad tank cars, and water treatment systems. This purchase is Buffett's largest ever outside the insurance business. He'll buy the rest of Marmon in stages by 2014. Stock markets in Asia were up overnight. Japan's Nikkei added more than 0.5%. Toyota gained for a second day after it raised auto sales forecast for 2008. European markets are trading up, and stock futures are pointing to a higher open for Wall Street. Representatives from China and North and South Korea met in Pyongyang yesterday. Talks focused on energy aid to the North. But to get it, North Korea has to come clean on its nuclear program. Our China correspondent is Scott Tong.
The two Koreas and China are supposed to be talking friendly stuff, the nuts and bolts of economic aid. The nuclear deal provides North Korea with fuel oil and infrastructure help. For instance, steel plates for power stations. But all that could go out the window if the North reneges on a key promise to disclose its nuclear weapons programs. It's supposed to do so by Tuesday under the six-party deal, but that deadline will probably slip, says Jung-hoon Lee of Yonsei University in Seoul.
If it appears that North Korea is simply procrastinating, then obviously some of the conditions that were put forward in terms of energy assistance will have to be reconsidered, which means that we're back to square one.
There's no tough talk yet of canceling economic aid. The new ruling party in South Korea is just getting its bearings, and Lee expects Washington to be patient. He says the Bush administration needs a diplomatic trophy on the international front. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Stock markets may have suffered a bit of a chill in the fourth quarter, but the art market was hot. Fall auctions in New York broke records. $71 million for an Andy Warhol, $33 million for a Matisse. One sale in November raised nearly $400 million. Now, the weak dollar may be the reason. It helped bring wealthy buyers from Russia, China, India, and the Mideast. But be cautious. The art market generally trails the stock market by about 6 months. So far, no signs that art has lost its luster.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation. Online at kauffman.org.
2007 may have been the year of toxic toys. If you've got questions about what your kids are playing with, Rachel Dornhelm reports the answers are just a text message away.
You're at an after Christmas sale or just in your living room, and you want to know now, how safe is this toy? Pull out your cell phone and type in healthy toys and the name of the thing. Say Polly Pocket's Pet Boutique. Text that all to 41411. You get back a message that tells you
Polly Pocket's Pet Boutique was tested and it comes back as a medium level of toxic chemicals detected.
That's Kristen Rao Finkbeiner, executive director of MomsRising.org, which spearheaded the project with the Washington Toxics Coalition and the Ecology Center. The ratings of high, medium, and low are the result of testing for toxins like lead, cadmium, chlorine, arsenic, and mercury. Over 1,200 toys are in the database, which is also online at healthytoys.org for parents who aren't into texting or those who want more details about the ratings. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Dickens could have been talking about private equity in 2007. Marketplace's Amy Scott joins us now for a look at these extremes. Amy, this was the year the private equity bubble burst. How did we get here?
Well, part of what drove this boom is the relatively low interest rates we've had. The deals involve huge levels of debt, which is why they're called leveraged buyouts. And so debt was cheap. Companies were also more motivated to be taken private to escape regulatory burdens and shareholder pressure. And meanwhile, some of the private equity firms themselves started going public. The Blackstone Group's IPO back in June was the biggest in 5 years. Of course, it didn't work out very well. The stock soon flopped. And, you know, many saw these IPOs as a warning sign. These smart guys were cashing out. People started wondering if they knew something that the rest of us didn't.
So was there a pin then, if we can continue with this metaphor, the whole bubble thing, was there one pin that popped the bubble?
The very sharp needle of the subprime mortgage collapse seems to be what happened. They may seem unrelated, but when homeowners started defaulting on those subprime loans in greater numbers, it set off this whole chain reaction. And the bottom line is that investors started shunning any kind of risky debt. Suddenly, nobody wanted the bonds that were financing these private equity deals, so the deals dried up.
They're a victim of the credit crunch, essentially, right?
Essentially, yes. One of the first and most prominent victims. We had some really high-profile deals get delayed or restructured or even canceled altogether. One case back in April, a private equity firm called J.C. Flowers had agreed to buy the student loan company Sallie Mae for $25 billion. The credit market dries up. J.C. Flowers pulled out. The two sides are still fighting it out in court.
Obviously, we're still dealing with a credit crunch. The Fed is trying to be somewhat aggressive in addressing the ills. So is any of this allowing Wall Street to become more optimistic about 2008 insofar as private equity is concerned?
Well, you know what's strange is that private equity investors didn't really slow down even in the second half of 2008. I talked to an analyst at Dow Jones who follows this, and she said, you know, it may be that some of the funds were already open, so there was this sort of momentum of fundraising, but this is a long-term investment. So people looking around at this current environment and what's happening with the economy are thinking they might get some great bargains down the road.
Amy Scott is a senior reporter here at Marketplace. Amy, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.